to be here this morning. Thankful that each one of you are here. We certainly miss so many from our congregation are normally with us, but we trust the Lord will bless us to things will be easy with this pandemic, and we'll be able to come back to the Lord's house without restricted fellowship. And we look forward to that day, and I trust we'll be glad when it comes, and we'll acknowledge that it comes from our Lord. I couldn't have this morning as I woke up to think about where I was 45 years ago today and what happened on that day. Those of you in my age bracket remember probably where you were if you were in this community and close to it on January 10th, 1975. I was a freshman at West Lincoln High School, and that morning at 9 o'clock, it was just as dark as it would be tonight at 9 o'clock. Massive tornado came through this area. It's just unbelievable that was 45 years ago. Time flies. That song, My Days Are Passing Swiftly By. My journey soon will end. I just want to ask you to pray. I really enjoyed the song service this morning. There wasn't a lot of us here, but I thought the song service was good. I appreciate the selection of songs, and certainly enjoyed Brother Russell's prayer and Brother Joe's efforts to bring some precious truths to us. That one thing that is the only thing that matters in our life, and everything else stems, you can build from that. That's the foundation. This morning, I don't know about you, but sometimes I misquote scripture. And I think I'm right, but I'm not. One time I was preaching up at Union Church up at Chunky, and I mentioned Hebrews 11, verse 1. I said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I said, the evidence of things not yet seen. I thought I was right. After church, Sister Beth Beeman came to me and said, Brother Mickey, what Bible are you reading out of this morning? I said, what do you mean, Sister Beth? She said, what do you use the word yet for? It doesn't say yet. It doesn't say yet. Recently, we were talking about in a conversation with some people about cremation. And that's not what I want to talk about today, but this lady in the group said, well, the Bible says ashes to ashes and dust to dust. No, I don't think it does. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, it says, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. It's easy sometimes to misquote scripture. And I've quoted this one. You've heard me quote it. And what I've done is put two together. You've heard me say before that God will withhold no good thing from them that diligently seek him. That's not in scripture. It's in there, but it's not worded like that. I combined two scriptures. Go with me to Psalms 84:11. It says that there that no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute. Go to verse 5, I think it is, maybe verse 6, where it says there that, I'll leave my train of thought here, brother. Let me turn there to it real quickly, and if I can find it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, excuse me. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. In this case, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This past week, we're in the second week of 2021, and some of you are in the midst of New Year's resolutions, and that's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to stay committed and stay focused. But one of my friends showed me a devotional that mentioned the word diligent. And I have my mind set about what diligence means. And we want to be rewarded. Those who diligently seek him. We need to be more diligent. But when I think about diligent, I think about hard work. Hard work. Systematic approach to things. But this in this devotional, it said that diligence comes from the Latin word diligere, which means highly valued or taking delight. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says that no chastening for the moment, no discipline for the moment. Brother Joe mentioned that I trained at the football. You know, when you're running wind sprints and doing the things it takes to be competitive, Brother Joe, it's not real pleasant at that moment. It's not joyous, but it's grievous. But afterward, it brings about a peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's something, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm thankful that I realize, and this person pointed this out to me, that in diligence, it involves taking delight. It's not punishment. It's a commitment. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever that case may be, whether it's obtaining a nursing degree or national board certification or lineman certification, Brother Ty, they're not going to give it to you. You got to earn it. You got to work at it. It's going to take some effort to get there, but afterwards, it's going to pay off for you. We got to focus upon these things, and it takes work ethic and so forth, but the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We need to be focused upon what the Lord would have us to do. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, in Colossians 3 and 23, it says, "Whatsoever you do, do heartily, as unto the Lord and not men." Let that soak in. Whatever you do, everyone on the sound of my voice is an adult or really a young adult, basically. And Bella, maybe not so much, but we have commitments in life, and we have to maintain focus. But do it with delight. Realize that, like I said a moment ago, do whatever you do. If you make it up to your bed, don't do it to make mama happy or daddy happy. Do it as if you're making up the Lord's bed. Because when He's on earth, there was a time He didn't have a place to lay His head. He said, the foxes have dens, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay His head. Be thankful for what you have. Be focused and be relentless toward the pursuit of those goals that you have in life and whatever it may be. I remember that you may know this, the Thursday before Thanksgiving every year is called the Great American Smokeout. The Great American Smokeout. I've never smoked. I've seen people who have, and it's a tough, tough habit to break. It's an addictive thing, no doubt about it. I used to write letters, and I need to get back to doing that for that date. I would write to a smoker that I love and just tell them that it's National Great American Smokeout Day. It's the day to give up smoking for one day, and I pray that they would give it up for one day and another day and another day and another day. I wrote a letter several years ago to a man that had three sons at Bogusita School, and this man was a good daddy. He's a good daddy, good man in our community. He smoked one cigarette after another. And I just wrote him a heartfelt letter just saying I was praying for him. He'd be able to give that up. 7 years later, he saw me and said, "Coach Myers, you remember that letter you wrote to me on that Great American Smokeout Day several years ago?" I said, "Yes, sir, I remember it." He said, "I'm going to tell you, it's been tough, but I'm through smoking. I've laid them down." And oh, what a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to be able to have that. Let's encourage each other. And I'm going to look at some of these things this morning about diligence and not only the work ethic and the attention to detail. Tomorrow night, a lot of us will gather around the television and watch Alabama and Ohio State play football. And they'll give one. Brookhaven several years ago was a really, really good football player. He went to the University of Alabama and played for Mike Shula. Shula was dismissed. They hired Nick Saban. He played for Nick Saban. Man, the Brookhaven asked him, he said, what's the primary difference in playing for Mike Shula and Nick Saban? He said, "I can sum it up in a very brief statement. Attention to detail. Attention to detail." He said that when Nick Saban came to Alabama, he didn't even taught us how to shower because he didn't want us to be bothered with athlete's foot. Attention to detail. But it involves having delight in what you do, knowing, again, why? Because the Lord will reward those who diligently seek Him. We have to have a focused approach to it. We have to have work ethic. We have to study His Word. We have to make an effort to be at the Lord's house at the appointed time. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Like I said earlier this morning, Colossians 3:23, "Whatsoever you do, do heartily, as unto the Lord and not men." I mentioned Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. I don't ever think I made that completed, but it says there that we don't need to give eye service to be men pleasers. In other words, you've seen some that probably on the job site, Brother Russell, as long as the boss is watching them, they'll get after it. or let the boss leave and they slack off on the job. But you know, the Bible says if we have a slack hand, we will encounter poverty. If we have a diligent hand, we will encounter riches. Another place it says, if you have a diligent hand, we will come before kings and not before mean men. They are meaning obscure persons. There's so much to be gained from in your workplace. I trust in Monday Old Baptist, we will have that mindset in our workplace. Wherever you might be, and a lot of us in the retired setting right now, which is a good thing, but that we will be realized that, as I mentioned, that the company that hires us is not our boss. We're working for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not men. But over there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, I keep mentioning this verse. It speaks there of being giving eye service. It's men pleasers. But there we should work as if we to please Jesus Christ as we're working for God. And I paraphrase that, but you know, Galatians 6:9 says that we will reap if we faint not. Go with me, as I mentioned, to Exodus chapter 15. Beginning about verse 23. The 430 years of bondage has ended. The Lord has brought his chief children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And now they're headed to Canaan's land, a journey that should have took 11 days. It took them 40 years because they wandered in the wilderness because of the sin of unbelief. We have Miriam singing about how the Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees in the camp there by the water. So how did they accomplish these things? How were they able to go to Elim and drink where there were 12 wells of water? They were in a place where there was no water. They found some water and it was bitter. It was bitter. They showed them a tree, and you cut that tree and cast it into those waters, and the water will come sweet. If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, don't just do it out of a sense of service, dear friends, but out of a grateful heart, having delight in serving the Lord and worshiping Him, understanding that, like I mentioned a few moments ago, that no chastening is pleasant. It's not joyous, but it's grievous. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And what a blessing that is. Go with me over to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we have a man Acts chapter 18, verse 24. It says, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." He was an eloquent man. He probably had to work at that some, but it's probably a blessing from the Lord that he's able to speak in a very clear and succinct manner and to present his ideas and his thoughts to people in a manner that they could be received. But the Bible says he was mighty in the scriptures. How does a person get to be mighty in the scriptures? Through diligent service to our Lord. Coming to the Lord's house and hearing, as Brother Joe mentioned this morning, hearing his word proclaimed. But taking time out of it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. You have 1,440 minutes every day. There's no distinction. Everybody has 24 hours, 1,440 minutes every day. It's up to us. And I know sometimes I'm notorious for allowing things and other people and other circumstances to eat away at that time and to take precious time. But if we're mighty in the scriptures, it's because we've dedicated ourselves. We're diligent in reading God's word. And another blessing is the Lord has blessed us to understand Scripture. You heard me say before, there's a lot of things in this book I don't understand. I wish I understood more about it. And over time, the Lord seemed like reveals more and more to me. But But I'm thankful. I don't get caught up in what I don't understand. I give thanks for what I do understand, Brother Joe, and I'm thankful for that and want to make it applicable to my life, that I will avoid the pitfalls and that wily adversary that we have, Brother Joe, that you spoke so ably about Wednesday night. So this man, in verse 20, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Dear friends, you got to understand, when he said he was mighty in the Scriptures, they're really talking about the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't available to him at this time, but he understood something about the baptism of John. What's the baptism of John mean? It involves repentance, baptism, and remission of sins. What a great blessing that is, dear friends, to understand that thing. And Apollos was able to teach those things because he understood that. Go back with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 2 for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 2, we find a wonderful event that's taking place. In chapter 2, verse 1 says, then when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Herod the king was troubled about this. The next verse is this. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Remember when Micah wrote this in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah. Rather, thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, sometimes just because we're diligent in something, we may have impure motives. Our heart may not be in the right place, but I trust with us, it is. We'll identify some worthy goal, something that will make a difference in our life and the lives of those maybe that we have responsibility of taking care of. But here in verse 7 says, and Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. What time that star appeared. You remember these wise men, the Magi were in the east, and they saw this star. They came over and rested over the manger there, and led over Bethlehem, and led them there. You know, I love that. You know, the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. In John chapter 6, the Lord talks about being the bread of heaven. So where do you go to get bread? You go to the bread store. Where did they go to get the bread of life? They went to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. But, you know, Micah pointed that out many, many years prior to this happening. He said, you know, that out of the least of these provinces, these princes of Judah, shall come a governor that will rule our people Israel. He didn't come as a king, dear friends. He came as in a very impoverished manner. The Bible says, though he were rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we may become rich. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I can't give you any better news than that. The Lord, he said in John chapter 6, I just mentioned a few moments ago, where did he say he came from? He said, I came down from heaven. Came down from heaven. You've heard me say this before, and I use it again this morning. When my wife passed away in 03, there was a few times after that where I've had people tell me that if Karen could, she would come back down here for me and those children. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that for a minute. Did she love us? Yes, she loved us. She loved us dearly. But I don't believe that for a minute. There's only one that came down from heaven. Now, my wife is coming down the next time. The next time he's coming down because the Bible says, I had a funeral yesterday for, I don't know, she was class of 95, one of my former students up in Bogotá. She'd been living in Belle Chasse, Louisiana, but they asked me to conduct her funeral service yesterday in Bogotá. I love that young lady. Sweet spirit about her. But you know that. Friends, we need to be diligent in things. We need to have a systematic approach to things. We need to have to pay attention to details. We need strong work ethic. Well, we need to understand too that there needs to be things that we're working toward that are highly valued, and we need to take delight. Don't just let it be drudgery. You know, I think about sometimes, you know, a lot of people at New Year's, they won't say, I'm going to lose some weight this year. I'm going to lose some weight this year. I'm not casting stone to anybody, but, you know what Oreo cookies are made for? Profit. There is no value in them. None. once they leave your taste buds, it's over. They've done all they're going to do to benefit you. So sometimes it's been motivation to me that to be able to avoid things. I see them smiling. I may be some Oreo cookie eaters here. I don't know, but I could use anything for that matter. But sometimes it helps me in pursuing personal goals by mindset that I'm not going to give satisfaction to these companies that take advantage of me just for profit, just for profit. Yes, it takes a discipline. It takes a diligence. But I tell you, who wants to go, Apollos, he had a Greek name, but he was a Jew, the Bible says, but he was mighty in the scriptures. How was he mighty in the scriptures? Well, he studied these things. He was diligent in service to his God, and he made a great impact on the lives of people that were able to hear him. But here in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He inquired of them diligently. He was very focused in his question. His motives were impure because he needed to get a time frame, because he was jealous that this man had been, the people were saying this man was born king of the Jews. And Herod was the king at that time. And he was issued a decree not far after this that they were going to kill all the males. 2 years and under. And Joseph, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, take the Jesus the Christ into Egypt. There's time and the place in scripture said where it says, out of Egypt, I have called my son. But here it says, if you continue, he was diligent and he was persistent in getting information about this star that appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. This has a twofold approach to it. Herod is very diligent because he has an impure motive in this. He's focused. I don't think he has delight in it. I don't think he has delight in issuing the decree that we're going to kill all the male children 2 years and under. I would certainly hope not, but I know there's been some wicked kings across the years. You can read about them in scripture. But I believe also these wise men were diligent as well. Can you imagine the delight that motivated them as they walked. I've heard it different. They walked 800, 1200 miles or whatever it was. They came from a long way off to see the Son of God and the light. The star came and rested over the manger and led them. Can you imagine how diligent they kept. They had to keep pursuing. They walked a long way to get there. I wish I had reviewed that this morning. I went back and researched that to find out what Bible scholars, how far they said they walked. But can you imagine the delight? There was something that was highly valued, Brother Joe. They were going to see the Christ child, the Son of God. You know, I tell you about my baby daughter helping deliver babies, and that's what she does. And I've been there before when my three were born. Three of the greatest days of my life. I wish I could have bottled up and sold how I felt that day. It was like I was walking on air, like my feet wasn't even touching the ground. I remember the first time when I become a daddy, honey, walking back out into the area where a lot of my family, Karen's family, were waiting. Tears just streaming down my face. But you imagine these wise men bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh to the Son of God. You know, as they kept walking. So, you know, I've done at times they felt like this star is moving further away from us. But they continue to walk. They continue to walk to diligently seek this young child. Now, Herod told him, said, diligently find, you go find him and come back and tell me that I may go and worship him also. Oh, they appeared to him in a dream and said, you go depart back into your country a different route. You don't go back to Herod because of the impure motives about this Christ child that was born. I want to spend the rest of our time this morning. Go with me back to the book of Nehemiah for just a moment. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes. I think the fifth king of this lineage. And it was in the winter. They were in the palace. You know, sometimes our goal is to leave the wilderness and go to the palace. But sometimes in scripture, you'll find some that were in the palace that went to the wilderness. What about Moses, for example? The Bible says from age 7 to age 40, he was an Egyptian, basically. No, he was still the leader of the Hebrews. But the Bible says he understood, and I'm paraphrasing, he understood Egyptian customs and traditions. He had experienced the best that Egypt had to offer, being raised as Pharaoh's daughter, if you will. But the Bible says when he reached a full 40 years of age, he feared not the wrath of the king. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He departed from Egypt. He left the palace to go try to lead a disobedient group of people in the wilderness. Now we have another situation here where Nehemiah, the people appear to Nehemiah and tell him about his city of Judah, great city of Jerusalem, the land of his father's sepulchers, the Bible says, lie in waste. The gates are broken down. The walls have been burned down. The city has been burned. And he went before the king with a sad countenance, which was not allowable in that day. When you went before the king, we were required to have a smile on your face, regardless of how you felt. And the king asked him, said, why are you bringing a sad countenance to me this morning, seeing you're not sick? You're not ill. You've never done this before time. And he began to share with him about his homeland. He said, the city of my father's sepulchers lie in ruin. And he requested permission to leave, to get a leave of absence from the king, from the palace, and go back and lead this transition, this rebuilding of Jerusalem, was his goal and the motivation here. And it took diligence to make this happen. But he went back, and you know, there were a couple enemies there. Two of them they give you by name. One of them was called Sanballat. Sanballat the Horonite. Sanballat means bramble bush, our secret enemy. Bramblebush, our secret enemy. Sometimes when you set personal goals in life, you may have all the desire in the world and intention in the world to be diligent toward reaching that goal, like Apollos, to become mighty in the scriptures. That would be a good goal, wouldn't it, to read God's word and to learn more about this precious book that the Lord has blessed for us. But sometimes there may be secret enemies. There may be people that sabotage your plan. You know, the world tells us right now that what we're doing this morning is a waste of time, is what the world would tell you. I beg to differ this morning. Brother Russell, Brother Joe said this morning, this is the one thing. This is the one thing that ought to be a priority with us. It ought to have preeminence in our life this morning. But also, Sanballat had another adversary, another ally with him, another partner, if you will, by the name of Tobiah. Tobiah means the Lord is good. So on both hands of things, we have one that says it's a bramble bush, a secret enemy, if you will. On the other hand, another one saying the Lord is good. Now they were together. They were against Nehemiah rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. You know, the Bible says here, too, that in verse 10 of chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And they arose in the night, they went to check out the wall. And their mind said in verse 18, says, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They tell you right after that, said they laughed him to scorn. But he said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. You'll find as you continue reading, you know, the beginning of chapter 4. Don't lose sight of your goals in life. You young people in particular, be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Build on that foundation that Brother Joe talked about us this morning. Yeah, that bottom block is Jesus Christ. You can build a big tower, dear friends, if you're diligent, if you're persistent, if you understand the point I want to make to you this morning. Diligence just doesn't involve hard work. Brother Ty, you play football, you know, it's commitment. It takes hard work if you're going to compete. You may have to be up in the morning doing things that your teammates may be still in bed for with. If you want to succeed in life, it takes effort, dear friends. It takes these things we mentioned this morning. It takes a serious approach to it. It takes a work ethic. It takes understanding. And I want you to understand this morning, it means having delight. taking delight in things and having and highly valued. Now, then in chapter 4, let's look at this for just a moment. In verse 1, it says, "But it came to pass, and when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Made fun, didn't he? Attack them. The people, some people of this world may tell us, you know, this is probably the fewest people I've ever seen at Union Church in my lifetime this morning. Probably the most sparse crowd I've seen. And I'm just like you. I pray this pandemic will go away, this vaccine, maybe whatever it may be, the Lord will bless us, that we will be able to come back in our numbers and have all of those. Some listening this morning that love this church, that are listening in on Zoom this morning and longing to be for the day when they can return and be here and fellowship with the saints again. But they made fun of him and said, you know, if a fox goes on the wall, it's going to break it down. There are some people that say, you know, y'all just close the doors. So I serve some churches. I serve one church where we really only have one member that's able to be there right now. Only one member. But we have good visitation, and we have some of the sweetest meetings. And I drive 2 hours to get there for those worship services. A lot of people say, man, y'all just need to lock the doors and forget about it. Oh, I pray we'll never develop that mindset. This is too important. I tell you before, when I was a student at the University of Southern Mississippi, I had a well-respected professor tell me, this group of, it was in a coaching class, said, now, let me give you the best, he said, the best advice I can give you is this. When you get that first coaching job, said, you start visiting the churches in that community, and you find the church that has the greatest influence on what goes on at that school, and you align yourselves with those people. Friends, I tell you this morning, if that's the best advice he could give me, I don't want to hear the worst advice he could give me. Oh, I want, let me tell you about the old Baptist church. I love it. You love it. That's why you're here. You know what I love about the old Baptist church? We have a doctrine that was once delivered to the saints that gives all glory and honor to God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I praise God. I preached before 5 recently. I preached before 8. Yeah, I wish there was more there. There's a lot of people this morning I wish was here, and pray that a day comes real soon when they come back. You know, I visited Brother Charles Matthews, and I'll visit him again in just a few minutes. But Brother Charles has told me time and time again, he said, Brother Mickey, the Lord really blessed me. He said, I feel like coming to church. They've advised me with all my health issues. I really don't need to right now, the spike in COVID. He wants to be back here. I want him back here. And that's what I tell you what, Brother Charles, I'm going to pray that you get to come back soon. And when you do, I trust we'll be like that one Samaritan leper that will fall down at the feet of our Lord and say, thank you for returning this brother to the congregation one more time. I know we're out of time this morning, but I trust this has been of some benefit to you. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. But you're going to have a Sanballat in your life. You're going to have some secret enemies. And it's sad that the Bible says, you read a little further, they finished the wall in 52 days. Because the people had a mind to work. They were diligent. And I believe they enjoyed this work. Because what was the motivation? Why would Nehemiah leave a palace in the wintertime to go build a wall? Because it was the land of his father's sepulchres. It's the land of his ancestry. Land of his heritage. It's a Union church. Let's strive. I've said about Antioch, my home church. Where, you know, that's the land of my father's sepulchers. My daddy's buried there. My wife's buried there. I have wonderful people buried right down here that I love very dearly in their lifetime. I trust it will be, the doors of Union Church will still be open when the Lord comes back. That's my prayer. Let's labor. Let's remember, though, that diligence It's not just about hard work and things that are not pleasure, that they're grievous for the moment, but it should have a sense of delight about it. That the Lord blesses us, and we may be like Apollos, and we become mighty in the Scriptures, and we can only do that by making a diligent attempt, effort to read God's Word and to study and pray for Him to reveal these things unto us and enjoy it from a delightful perspective is my prayer for you this morning. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.